Do you love and hate the hospitality industry? Then you are in the right spot. Join your hosts, Kyle and Sarah, Sean Walsheth, and Jensen Cummings as they talk shop and give real insights into the latest restaurant news and most pressing issues facing hospitality professionals today. Welcome in to the Restaurant Idea Factory.
Hey, welcome in to Restaurant Idea Factory. That's Kyle. That way. That's Sean. I'm Jensen. We're coming to you with Riff 27, guys. 27, 6 months of shows and a big announcement right on the onset. Bittersweet for us. This will be the last of the Restaurant Idea Factory, you know, as a weekly show. You guys bug us enough. Maybe there's another Avengers movie or a reunion tour or something, but this is good. We have three aces on this show, and we're super busy, and this show is a labor of love, but we're going to let it ride off into the sunset, and great content we've created over the last 6 months, really pushing the boundaries of what a show could be for the restaurant industry. So this is a big thank you to everybody out there who has followed along. Hopefully we made an impact. Hopefully you were able to take some tidbits away from Riff over these 6 months, over these 27 episodes and all the extension content. I'm super grateful for all the interactions we've been able to have. Sean, speak to the people.
For me, creating content, having conversations about the industry, having conversations about what's going on in the industry, joking around, messing around, but more importantly, just the people that have supported the show, Avi and Kelsey from Marquee, Zach Oates from Ovation, Jordan Bush from Seven Shifts, Amanda and David from Davo. These are technologies that we believe in deeply. You know, technology isn't the end all be all, but it's hard enough running a restaurant. And if you can use tools like Marquee and Ovation and Seven Shifts and Davo to make life easier as a restaurant owner, I'm all for it. It's hard as hell. It's a hard business to be in. And we're grateful that they've supported this show.
Yes, Kyle, preach.
Yeah, I mean, look, anytime my whole thing with content is, you know, running a restaurant can be a very lonely existence. You can't go down the hall and ask somebody like, hey, I'm running into this issue with the vendor, and you know, you're on your own. And really one of our main sources are these conversations, the internet in general. And I hope people had some takeaways and they know where to follow us afterwards. But I think it was really ultimately proof that you can test things and try things, and you know, some things last forever, some things don't, but you know, ultimately it's about testing and trying and seeing what works, just like in your business. And I think this was great. And yeah, super grateful to Marquee, Innovation, Seven Shifts, and Davo. Who knows every aspect of my poorly planned sales tax strategy. So it was great. I mean, I'm excited. I mean, and it lives forever, right? So it's not going anywhere. Yeah. The that stuff is forever on the internet for better or for worse. But yeah, there it is. It's an exciting project to be a part of. Absolutely.
Oh, guaranteed 3 years from now, somebody's gonna hit us up. Be like, I just watched Riff episode 12 and it fucking changed my life. You mentioned it. Pick it up there, Kyle. What are you most excited about that you're working on? Because again, that's part of the deal is we all got a lot going on. Even this show is 2 days late because all of us trying to get our schedules tightened up is a challenge for sure. So what are you most excited about that's on your docket right now? And then let people know, close Monday and where else they can follow you.
Yeah, you know, from my day job standpoint, it's been super busy. The opportunities that exist for restaurants right now, when you are buttoned up, have your act together, and kind of really are prepared to grow, are virtually endless. You know, there are brands out there, there are landlords, there are developers, there are investors out there looking for you. The sites that are being presented are phenomenal. The relationships with landlords seem to be more communicative, more open, not just a one way take it or leave it type of deal. So I'm grateful to see these kind of things opening up for restaurants. Closed Monday has been gaining more and more steam every week. We have some solo episodes, we have some guest episodes, we have some on-site stuff coming, we have some off-site stuff coming up. So yeah, a lot of things going on. We got a baby coming, so there's a lot going on over on this side. But
you got the Close Monday onesie ready.
Oh, that's a good idea. Shit, I didn't even fucking think
Come
of that.
Come on, dude, your branding is so good, man. I love the branding of the episodes on Instagram.
Right? Yeah, so I gotta brand
the baby.
I do have an episode with Leslie coming out soon, so that will be interesting.
Ooh, I've done a husband-wife episode before. That's
not, I have one somewhere in here, but not a pregnant Leslie one. So we'll see how that goes.
That's a different level altogether.
Yeah, but yeah, just continue the conversation. And there is so much going on. Everything is changing seemingly all the time. Technology wise, the opportunities that exist are really quite impressive. Every day, you know, we're running across something new. I'm introduced to something new, and I'm like in this space. But it's it's just an exciting time to be a restaurant.
Give people the social handles.
At Kyle and Sarah everywhere. That's it. At Close Monday Podcast. And be here somewhere.
Kyle and Sarah?
Me and Sarah are going to be rocking it from now on.
Sean, same to you. What are you most excited about? Where can people follow along?
Yeah, I mean, we've got some really big things. We're working on the barbecue side and on the media side of our business. And we're not exactly ready to disclose, but it's hard for us to keep secrets. So on at Sean P. Walchef on any of the social handles, chances are you can connect the puzzle pieces and figure out what we're doing for the barbecue side of the business. We've got some really big deals that are hopefully we're going to be hearing back from soon. These have been long-term projects that we've been working on to get our brand in more places. We believe slow food fast. We don't want to be a restaurant anymore. We haven't been a restaurant for, I guess, since we've opened 15 years. Putting us into the restaurant category isn't really who we are. Otherwise, we wouldn't be a media company as well. But there's some really cool things that if they come together, they're going to come together really fast and give us a lot of opportunities. So anybody that's been listening to this show, you're part of the family. So no matter who you follow, where you follow, keep following along and keep in touch. Stay curious, get involved, and don't be afraid to ask for help.
And got to give the plug for Clubhouse. Because I think that's a great place for people to just like start who don't know where the conversation is or where to begin. Great place to jump in and then be able to cycle into other content.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to create a micro community of where, you know, as an avid talk show sports fan, I always used to listen to great shows where callers could call in and talk to the radio host. As a podcaster, sometimes you don't realize the impact that you're having, that some restaurant owner somewhere in the world is needed to hear exactly what you wanted to say, and they might have a follow-up question. Well, Clubhouse gives you the opportunity to just come on stage and talk to other restaurant owners, marketing professionals, sales professionals, content creators, and that's every Wednesday, every Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern time, or if you're in Bulgaria, it's 8 p.m. if you're in Eastern Europe.
Are you expanding to Bulgaria? Is that what's one of those things are?
The internet is everywhere on Earth. I think the internet's in space too, isn't it?
Think so, right?
I don't know. If you go on one of those Blue Origin or SpaceX spaceships, can you still check email? Do we know that information?
Probably better than Kyle and I's Wi-Fi up there.
Yeah, it can't be worse.
That's awesome to hear. Yeah, definitely follow along with Kyle and Sean. For me, I'm excited because we've had a lot of shows at Best Served in development for a while, and selfishly, the team is a little bit excited about this because Riff was definitely the shiny new toy, and working with the two of you has been amazing. And like you said, with Zach and Avi, Kelsey, Kyle over at Ovation as well behind the scenes, and Amanda, and everybody, it's just been great, as you guys mentioned. And so the fact that we got a few new shows, we just have Restaurants and Pop Culture with MC32 that I'm doing all about the movie stuff. You guys know I'm a big movie buff, and that's going to push me more into that space. So we're talking a lot about The Bear. Excited about that. Going to be talking a lot. Restaurant Techno Babble is something you guys know I don't understand any of this tech stuff, even less than you guys. So having a channel where we can really talk about the technology challenges that restaurants are facing and more just understanding the vernacular and what's possible and available. So we've been talking about that a lot in tech stack. So excited that as well. And then can keep the news going. I really like this kind of BuzzFeed style of reading the news that we've done, which I've been doing on my personal pages. So definitely at Jensen Cummings in all the places, at Best Served Podcast in all the places as well. So,
you're all right, good. 3 weekly shows.
Good stuff. I mean, daily. I'm going to be on daily, man. With three daily shows. With stuff. 3 weekly shows and then a daily kind of clip segment. Stuff that I've already been trying to do. Been pretty good. I get 6 days a week on live, you know, for 1 minute at a time, I think is that's a big commitment for me, for sure, to say you can post every day and be on every day. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try, people. Wow. For sure. 100%. I'm committed to this, getting it out there into the world. Like Kyle said, it lives forever. So it can have an impact today.
Forever.
100%. It'll be on the time capsule that goes into space on one of those Blue Origin voyages to Mars. Let's go. All right. Let's get into this, guys. What are we talking about? We're talking about Riff 27. Rick Bayless on the Bear. We're talking alternative meats and restaurants, Next Bite acquisition, among other stuff. So let's get into this right away and talk a little entertainment feed. So Rick Bayless rips on the Bear for glorifying the ugliness of restaurants. This is by Ashok Selvan and Eater. Rick Bayless said the Bear has pushed us back another 20 years. If you're a mother of a teenage boy that's watching the show and he goes, "Mom, I want to work in a restaurant," would you let him? No, you wouldn't. That's like the worst profession in the world. Kyle, dude. Bayless on the Bear. What do you think?
It's not the Bear's responsibility to raise your kid.
Nope.
It's entertainment, dude. Like, fucking relax. It's not even, I just can't stand this like thing where you have to be like anybody else's. It's like, what was that? Charles Barkley said, "I'm not your role model." There's gotta be some parenting involved. Like, hey, this is just one aspect. Can't take it. This is a silly comment. Clickbaity thing. I don't know who was trying to get in front of who, but I would expect more.
It was at a Wall Street Journal live event on stage. He said this and kind of went into this a little bit. So, you know,
jackass. I mean, I was like, I could see what he's saying, but like, I don't know. You could probably know him. You probably know a movie better than me that would portray a certain, you know, Wall Street or whatever. Who knows? So like some movie that's taking an entertainment angle or some certain political angle does not speak for the industry as a whole. So you could make another documentary about, or another show that's more, I don't know, paints it in a better light. Would that make everybody happier? But yeah, I think it's an irresponsible comment by him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so real, and we potentially have just had laughable versions of restaurants that nobody actually took them seriously. The fact that this is hitting on some pretty big pain points, I think it's just showing off the reality, and you either believe it or you don't, or you've lived it or you haven't. And so, yeah, I think foot in mouth here on Rick Bayless for sure. Sean, what do you think? Is this just chef inspired, or is this
handcrafted?
I mean, I'm just confused as to what the story is. Rick Bayless saying what about the Bear? Who cares? Like, why do we even care about this? Yeah. Seriously.
Like, well, the Bear is blowing up, so I think anybody who's talking about it, I think anybody who's on stage who's a chef is getting asked about the Bear right now is probably better get your talking points in order, people. If you're,
you're a chef, but you're allowed to have whatever talking points you want to have, right?
Yeah.
Like, Rick Bayless can feel however he wants to feel about the Bear. Yeah. Us talking about how Rick Bayless feels about the Bear is giving Rick Bayless a bigger platform. Who gives a shit what Rick Bayless? I don't care what he thinks of the Chargers or what he thinks of the Super Bowl. Like, I could give a shit what Rick Bayless thinks. Like, I don't understand.
If the Chargers and the Bears in the Super Bowl, are you and Rick Bayless putting one of those mayor bets?
I don't know. Like, whatever. Who cares what he thinks of the Bear? Does that affect how he thinks of the Bear? Does that affect how many people watch the Bear or don't watch the Bear?
I think it's like giving him more power. Not. Like, who? Like, he's not. Yeah. First of all, the chefs that are up and coming, I don't know, are they really tuned into who Rick Bayless is and what he does? I know more about Skip Bayless than I do about Rick Bayless. His Mexican show is, I don't know. I always thought he always caught my attention because he was the first like white guy really throwing down on some ethnic cuisine that was on TV that I recall. And I was like, where'd this guy learn how to cook like this? But then that wears off quick. But yeah, I don't know. I guess he's considered an authority in the space, but he knows better. Yeah. He lives better, right? His restaurants aren't like that.
I imagine. If your restaurants aren't like that, then they're not like that. I mean, this is one of the things I've talked about, the black eye that the restaurant industry has. I've talked about that exact scenario of like moms and their kids. Are they looking at restaurants as a great place to work? And I don't think the bear does anything to change what the industry has set as the standard and expectation. And if anything, maybe it creates subculture heroes in Carmi and Sydney and Tina and Marcus. Those characters might end up being ones that people resonate with and decide, you know, it's hard, it's tough, this is the reality of it, but there's also some humanity in it. So I think the bear can unlock that. But yeah, it's not the bear's responsibility. Full stop.
Go bear.
It's a TV show.
Yeah, they're not real.
These are fictional characters, people.
Extremely realistic, but not real.
All right, let's get into this next segment here. Guest experience presented by Ovation. Ovation is a two-question survey platform for real-time feedback, better online reviews, and happier guests. It's having some technical difficulties with this clip over here, so let's just hear from Zach himself.
Oh, what's up, crew?
Yo. These guys didn't know you were coming, Zach. This was between and I. We figured this out like an hour and a half ago. So these guys are really excited to see that pizza shirt.
Yeah. What's up, team? Super happy to be here. Good to see you all.
What's happening?
Just living the dream, living the pizza eating dream, my man.
Living that $4 million dream.
Big round.
You know how many pizzas I could buy with $4 million? I think that was like the last slide. Seeking for $4 million or
or how many vendors have reached out to you, Zach, since your announcement?
Oh, vendors? I mean, like, hey.
Hey, congratulations, by the way.
Now that your budget has changed.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to come on here live because I wanted to ask you guys a question. So obviously,
we're here for it.
At Ovation, we care so much about feedback, and feedback is all about improving, right? And so I recently did a podcast that's going to be released soon with the one, the only, Rick Bayless. No, I'm kidding.
Let's go.
He's going to join next.
Fantastic. He's like, no. Sean does not like Rick Bayless. It's not that I don't like him.
That up.
I have other things I've got to worry about.
I was backstage. I was picking some of that up, Sean. You know, that's one thing I like about Sean is you always have to read between the lines with him, so it makes it more fun. You never know what he's thinking. But, you know, I had Diamond Dallas Page on my podcast. And like the wrestler DDP. And one of the things we talked about was a letter to your younger self. And so if you were to write a letter to your younger self in an effort to give feedback and to improve, what would be your advice? What would be a couple of the bullet points in that letter to your younger self?
Oh man, that's serious. We're getting existential here. I need to process this. What's the first thing you would write in the letter to yourself?
I would say, so I was thinking about this as I was, as I wanted to get your all's opinion. And I'd say first, God first, like make sure always put God first. And second, I would say, don't try so hard to impress people. Like just be authentic.
Yeah.
Right. I felt like there were times that if you could imagine, I was like way more crazy and wild and energetic as a kid, in my younger self. I just wish that I were like a little more chill and got to know people better, right? As opposed to trying to like impress them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I like that. Kyle, Sean, one of you guys want to pick it up?
You want to go Bulgaria?
Letter to my younger self about anything?
Anything.
Yeah. Like what would you say to yourself that would be like, hey, here's some good feedback for you, younger Sean, that it's going to help you improve.
I would think it would be the thing that I talk about on all of our shows, all of our clubhouse calls, the thing my grandfather taught me, which was stay curious, get involved, ask for help. The hardest lesson was asking for help. Hmm. Like as a young man growing up in the restaurant, then taking over the restaurant, then getting involved, I always will run through any wall to find the answer, to look for the answer, but asking somebody that maybe hasn't been exactly where I've been, but getting more mentors in my life and asking them specifically for help. Because asking for help, you have to be vulnerable and you have to be completely transparent and open. And when you ask for help, sometimes it's not the answer that you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear to actually move your business or your life forward.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. Shit, I got to think of something heavy now.
I'll jump in then. I think it's some of that chip on the shoulder, something to prove, which forces you, myself, into this like fake it till you make it thing that so you don't get swallowed up by the wolves. I always felt like I had something to prove, and it pushed me into this place where I was always the hardest worker. And this is an interesting thing I think about now. I think about now that hard work and hustle and just work 70 hours a week to prove yourself is really problematic for me. I think now a lot more about how could I have been the highest contributor versus the hardest worker, because I only allowed people in my circle that also worked 70 hours a week, and it's just not sustainable. It's why I had this steep trajectory and made a name for myself and then burned out so quickly. And so I think that's the thing. This is a long game. This is an infinite game. And I was playing a very finite game. And I had a lot of W's in the short term because I had this transactional mindset. And like, if I outwork this person today, that means tomorrow I'm finally going to be worthy. That's the thing that I struggle with. That's the thing. If I had a therapist, that's what I'd be talking to my therapist about. Yeah. So I have this show and you guys and everybody watches to just be vulnerable and talk perfect about it now, which hopefully impacts the industry. But I'm basically, this show and all the content that I do is the letter to myself as a kid, because these are all the things that I didn't realize. I didn't understand the responsibility of leadership, of communication, of expectations, of hustle and drive and all of that. So good question, Zach.
Yeah, really, for real,
man.
Yeah, you know, I can connect with that piece too. I mean, that's definitely like a chef thing for sure, right? Like that was like embraced. It was held in higher regard if that was the case. If you could work longer, you could work harder. You did more shifts. You pushed out more plates. That was definitely the thing. But I think for me, I would say trust your gut more. You know, a lot of times I was focused on doing what other people thought was right. That's why I worked on Wall Street for 3 years, because that's what I thought I was supposed to do when I graduated college. And then even once I got into the industry, it was kind of like, oh man, should I go work for Tom Colicchio, or should I go do this thing that's going to pay me more money? Or should I go pursue this opportunity down in the US Virgin Islands, or should I stay here in New York and continue to grind it out? And then all those little decisions in between, you know, they ultimately, I think we justify by saying like, oh, I wouldn't be here without it. But I think sometimes, you know, if I would have trusted my gut more, I would have, who knows, right? Like, you don't know. So sometimes those things are not regretful, but you just kind of think where you would have wound up. And I think for me, the other part is be careful who you listen to, you know, in that same comment. You know, now in the real estate side of things, and even the restaurant operational content side of things, I'm not listening to anybody unless they're doing more than me, right? And there's a thing that the people behind you are the only ones talking. Is anyone ahead of you is too busy, too interested to doing their own thing to worry about what the fuck you're doing. So that noise, that chatter you hear is just complete bullshit. And a lot of times it comes from people who are closer to you, who think they have an answer for you, which is the hardest part. And you kind of have to tell them like, I hear you, but this is what I'm going to do. But yeah, that's probably been a general theme of mine is I really should have trusted my gut more. And it's hard, right? Because it's often not a very loud voice, but it's consistent. But I tend to ignore it. But ultimately, I think that is what's your guiding force. And you just have to find a way to tune into that. And then it's going to be tough at times. But I think that ultimately that's the path that's going to be the most enjoyful. You're going to have most fun and ultimately the most success by following your gut.
Dude. Zach, ooh, man.
I'm going to go cry now.
I know. Usually Zach, we're like peaking, and that was really good. I think that's an important conversation, but man, way to get way introspective on this segment of guest experience.
Yeah, man. I mean, isn't that what it's all about? Life experience, guest experience, all about improvement, building value. And I appreciate being able to learn from you guys. Thank you.
Oh, man. And we're so grateful for you contributing to Restaurant Idea Factory. I know we all have a lot more work to do and collaborations to do into the future. And this has been awesome. This was a real game changer. And to be able to get you on the screen to like really kind of hype us up every week and ask great questions and bring thoughtful conversation and dialogue. Like, this has been really fucking cool, Zach. Like, really, really cool, man. We are grateful. And the fact that we're able to figure out how to get you on live today and surprise these guys too, man. That was pretty wild. Feels right. This feels like a great way to go out on this final recurring episode, you know?
Yeah. All right, team. Well, hey, appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Get out of here, brother. Good.
Later, Zach.
Bye-bye.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Finally, when we said, okay, we're recording the show this morning. It'll come out today, Friday, June 30th. And I was like, Zach, we got like 2 hours, man. If you can get a clip together, we'll get it on. He's like, why don't I just come on for 5 minutes? I was like, perfect. Perfect way to end. And guest experience segment. And he wore the pizza shirt. That's my favorite of all the shirts, too. 100%. The pizza shirt is the one. All right.
I love how we had the guys at the restaurant show and also the pizza type shirts. And they all had it. They're like drones.
Jensen, you keep cutting in and out your video feed.
Bad?
Like really bad.
Damn it. Damn like internet.
Village bad.
All right, let me cue up this next segment, and then I'm going to jump in. So we're going to talk a little bit about alternative meats. Hopefully this is coming through. Kyle's been talking about it a lot. Then I had experience yesterday on it, and there was a big announcement. Yo Egg, Kyle, you talked about them, the plant-based egg that actually can be poached from David Tran at Daily Meal came out, was talking about this product. So I want to talk about this a little bit. You saw them in the National Restaurant Association show.
Yeah. Super impressive. I mean, I would be surprised if I was, the only thing that caught me off guard that if I was like going to say, hey, this could be a real egg is that it was too perfect. You know, like it's not easy to poach an egg that perfectly. But overall the product is insane. I mean, in terms of similarity and taste. I think we spoke about it here, but ultimately I don't think this is just a vegan product. You know, I think it's people want alternatives. I mean, it's even an alternative to restaurants who have guys in the kitchen who can't poach eggs properly. That's like, I don't know, but it's for sure was one of the main topics at the restaurant show. And to me, this was by far the standout. There's another one. Chunk was another one. The meat-based one was very cool. But the egg, and I just know how sensitive it is to cook these things, both sunny side up and poached. And they were phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, it had the egg on the sandwich or the egg on top of any dish. It's about the crack the yolk and have it run. That's the food porn moment.
Yeah.
And definitely had that from the videos I saw from you and from some of their stuff.
And they had the sausage, they had like the vegan sauce, the plant-based sausage there. So they were making like sausage, egg, and cheese there, and they had salt, pepper, ketchup, hot sauce. I would ask anybody on the planet to tell me that that did not taste exactly like an actual, you know. So yeah, we'll see where it goes. But the argument that I can't stand is like people who are actually wanting to eat plants, why would they want to eat an egg? I think it just goes back to what I said earlier, that it's not just for vegans. It's people want alternatives. So I think they're very interesting.
A little bit of a gateway there. Yeah, and in this article, this was according to TechCrunch, the plant-based egg market is expected to grow about 27% annually by 2027 to reach just under $800 million in value. Not plant-based across the board, plant-based egg. So that's pretty major. It won't be in the poached egg category. It's going to be in a lot of places like baked goods and different things like that where plant-based egg is an alternative there. But man, that's a big number there for sure. So yeah. Did you come across any of those products, Sean?
Can I be honest with you guys?
No. Lie to me. Lie, baby.
You guys ruined alternative anything for me last show.
Why?
You ruined the California roll. You gave me the, you showed me what the video is of the imitation crab. Not imitation, nothing for the rest of my life.
You're all so real.
You're not doing imitation brisket anytime
soon? No beyond meat, no beyond crab, no beyond anything. Let's just stick to the fundamentals.
The impossible is getting Sean to.
I want to see where the thing came from, not how it was fakely made to pretend like it's something else.
Sean now has to see how the sausage is made.
Just be who you are. If you're a chicken, be a chicken. If you're not a chicken, don't be a chicken. Be a lettuce.
Be a lettuce.
Just be okay being a lettuce. That's fine. You don't need to be a chicken.
Turnip are awesome.
But what about the chicken that's being made in a petri dish?
No.
Okay.
No, real chicken, but like chicken, not like
we're gonna talk about that because that also spurred this on in a second. But yeah, just yesterday I had the experience with one of these products. Landlovers sent over some stuff that we're trying across the team. Wanted to see if there's some avenues for this. So I tried Landlovers flank steak, they're calling it. Then their fajita, which is like pre-marinated kind of fajita meat. And then their Mongolian beef style stuff. So what was interesting about their product, if you've seen any of these, where they basically have this like extruder of soy and wheat protein, and then they fold it on itself. So if you look at the side cut of it, it looks like a bunch of folded layered rubber bands.
Sean, you want that?
I saw that in the TikTok video of the fake crab.
It's pretty wild, and basically that's supposed to mimic kind of the strands of protein. So I'll straight up give my kind of review right now of that and say that just the straight flank steak was a no. That maybe got across the board, I think, twos when Yeesh. It came to that product. The fajita and the marinade version, if you put enough marinade and caramelized onions and green onions and things like that with it, it was shocking how much after a few bites you kind of forgot that you were eating this fake meat, right? So it again, like it needs a lot because the straight product was rough. But these other ones, like I can see where people are going to gravitate towards these products. Will I? No, I'm gonna go for the real flank steak myself. And a lot of people are going to consume products like this. It was pretty clear to me that there is absolutely a lane and a channel for this. These are going to be big, big markets. And they're going after. They're talking about, you know, $300 billion meat industry in the United States, 66 billion pounds of whole cut meat from this article from VegEconomist that talked about this. Beyond and Impossible, their sales are at about $1.4 billion as the leaders in that category right now. So it's a major category and it's not going to go anywhere. So the need to improve these products and Sean, to your point, to have some transparency. Because right away I was like, how are you extruding this? What does this extruder look like that's layering this meat on there? Do I have a problem with the process? You know, I've seen some pretty horrific chicken farming processes too that are equally like hard to watch where the sausage is made. So I know that I don't know. It was clear to me that I don't understand this category well enough and that I didn't understand this product well enough. And the fact that, you know, if you chef inspired up enough, like there was some validity to that. So, man, you know, I don't know.
Like G is a pescatarian and he'll eat shrimp and fish and all that stuff.
Sure.
He would say like, you know, it's easier for me now because growing up it sucked. Like if I had to go out with my friends, I'd go to a restaurant. I would have to have like pasta and French fries because I didn't eat anything and I couldn't afford to pay $30 for the shrimp. So he's like, this, I can go out to some of these things and I can fool my friends. They don't even know they're eating a plant-based burger. Superiority Burger here in Manhattan, no one can tell. I don't care. Anybody, no one can tell. They do a like a smash burger style, very Big Mac, very over the top type of burger. And I think it's made his life easier. Like he can go out to these places with his friends. And I think there's a lot more to it than just dietary stuff. I mean, obviously who knows what's better for who. I think we're still trying to figure that out. But I think from a lot of different angles, it's going to be around for a while.
Yeah. I commented further on what we talked about with Mr. Beast and the problems with Beast Burger as somebody sent me the actual menus and then the specs and training. If you are a host restaurant of Mr. Beast Burger, and one of the things that they they said was only the packaging and the Impossible Burger were spec'd products that they had to have. Everything they just sourced from their own. Also said that the Impossible Burger was something that they moved pretty well and like felt like it was almost better than the Mr. Beast Burger because it was unique, different, and a very specific spec'd out product. So that was interesting to hear. And this is in Texas where this came from. So I was really interested to hear a good old boy chef from Texas saying that he was behind the Impossible Burger. So I think there's a little bit of a cultural shift that's happening. All right, we're not going to talk about this very long, but here this is from Restaurant Hospitality, Joanna Fantozzi, excuse me, Joanna. Cell cultivated meat has been approved for sale for the first time in the United States. Upside Foods and Eat Just have been granted full USDA and FDA approval. Chef Dominique Kren will be selling the company's cell cultivated chicken product at a restaurant, Bar Kren, and Chef Jose Andres announced a partnership with Good Meat and committed to serving the cell cultivated poultry at China Chilcano. So cell grown meat is now coming as well. Is that do we feel better or worse about cell cultivated versus plant based when it comes to this? What do you think, Kyle? Did you see or hear any of this when you were kind of going down the alternative meats at NRA?
I don't think I saw any of the like this type of meat that I recall, but I did see the video on it. I don't know. It's just a little freaky. I'll try it, but I mean, what does that process look like? I mean, you're growing meat from cells. What does that factory look like?
Like the Matrix pods, man.
Exactly.
Isn't that what a chicken nugget is?
At best. McDonald's been doing that for 50 years.
What are we talking about here?
Joan is so confused.
I don't understand.
Now they're not going to have to shape the chicken nuggets into dinosaur shapes for the kids. They can grow them like that.
This is groundbreaking stuff. What's happening here?
This is groundbreaking. Growing this is from
standard American diet stuff.
So you have the chicken. Then you have the thing made from mostly soy and wheat that's supposed to mimic the chicken, be it egg or poultry. Now you have cells. Those protein cells, those amino acid building blocks of proteins that then they're cultivating. And it's like yeast growing, yes. Right? It's like it is duplicating from a handful of cells into tens of millions and hundreds of millions and billions of cells, I'm sure. Somebody fact check me on the math there, that then they're taking those cells and combining them back, extruding them, I'm sure, into a forced patty of some type that then creates your chicken burger, your chicken nugget.
Chicken burger.
No. Okay, we're gonna see. High profile chefs are into it. The now the vegan community up in arms about it.
Like chicken, like made tableside, some bullshit yeah. like that.
Yeah, can they get it so fast that they can grow my chicken burger tableside in the next 3 minutes?
Oh Christ.
Oh man. All right. Again, we are out of our element here. People are considering it, man. When people are looking at those prices of beef and prices of chicken and chicken wing around the Super Bowl and all these things, like restaurants are going to have to make some hard decisions that they've never had to make before. And so I hope that Sean never has the, hey, Sean, we need to talk about alternative brisket. He's going to fucking lose his mind. He's like, I will shut this place down
before. And it's probably gonna be like three times the price.
Alternative brisket. For now, there'll be that early adopter curve, and then eventually it'll probably become less expensive over time. It'll become less expensive than meats, than seafoods. So big money going into this space as well. Oh man. Makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable, like a little bit queasy of like, what are we eating here? But so does eating a chicken nugget makes me equally uncomfortable. So we'll see what that means. All right.
Chicken nugget than a California roll.
Oh,
delicious.
For sure.
Chicken nugget over California roll. Okay. Now we're starting to sequence.
Yeah.
The level of potential disgust for any of these products. All right. You mentioned this in the onset. We're going to get in a little market watch. We're going to talk about From the Real Deal by Isabella Farr. This article said Sam Nazarian buys food tech company Nextbite. Former hotel mogul adds delivery-only business to the portfolio. Nextbite, founded by Alex Cantor, the fourth generation to run L.A. staple Cantor's Deli, currently has more than 15 brands on its roster, including Nathan's Hot Dog and restaurateur David Chang's Fuku. Nextbite layoffs broke federal law, lawsuit claims. The proposed class action alleges that the company fired 130 workers last month without giving them 60 days notice required under the WARN Act. So it got multiple rounds of layoffs. It had to sell off some assets. Then it was acquired by Sam Nazarian. And then now there's a lawsuit, a class action lawsuit coming. So Nextbite has been through the ringer. For anybody who doesn't know, I mentioned the 15 brands, similar to a virtual dining concept where we talked about Mr. Beast Burger. Basically, they have a slew of brands. You, as a restaurant, as a ghost kitchen operator, could bring one of those brands on and be able to sell them through the virtual space on top of your existing brand, for anybody who's not aware. So Nextbite, what do we think? What's happening there? Is this a canary in the coal mine of what's happening with technology, with virtual brands, with ghost kitchens? What do we think?
I'm not even clear what the hell they do.
They're just like virtual dining concepts. They have a bunch of brands like Mr. Beast Burger that you can license.
Yeah.
Sell through your place. That's what Nextbite does.
Yeah, we spoke about this last night. I don't know. I don't think it's sustainable for a real restaurant. I think they're better off being standalones, maybe, right? Make Nextbite food hall, virtual food hall, and just deliver out of there. Why do they have to come into restaurants? Are they really adding to the bottom line of restaurants? I don't even know. I don't know one restaurant that does it. Like, I actually know the operator who put it in place.
Yeah, I think some of it started out of desperation. Mm-hmm. Right. They're like, we're not doing enough revenue ourselves. We don't know how to market our restaurant. This brand comes in. So they have David Chang's Fuku brand. They have Nathan's Hot Dog. They have Mr. Beast Burger. I need something. And so they put that on and added that burden to be able to sell a bunch of hot dogs, a bunch of burgers, a bunch of noodle bowls, potentially is where they're at. So, yeah, it's big. And this was interesting because Nextbite, I thought, might be able to do something, because a lot of the companies that are in this space, that are in technology, right? Alex started Ordermark, don't have the restaurant experience. So sometimes there's something lost in translation, but Alex's family's, you know, fourth generation restaurateurs in LA. So, like, he understands the needs and the challenges. So I was surprised a little bit by this. Sean, what do you think about what's happening with Nextbite?
I mean, I'm a huge fan of Alex. I had him on a episode of Restaurant Influencers that will never get published because all the news when we recorded it broke. So we recorded it, I don't know, 2 months before any of this news came out. And if we published it, it would be all irrelevant because, you know, everything that happened with Nextbite, Ordermark, San Nazarian, everything from there. But the thing that impressed me the most was Alex's work that he did growing up in his family restaurant. Cantor's Deli in LA is one of the most impressive, highest volume restaurants, historical restaurants, restaurants of significant in all of the United States. And, you know, him growing up is kind of, you know, all of us, we all grew up in the restaurant business and watching technology change and shift from all around us and saying, like, it shouldn't be this way. Like, this point of sale doesn't have to suck. Like, why is it so hard to get email addresses? You know, he was there implementing all of this stuff, and that's how he created Ordermark and then Nextbite. So, you know, it obviously sucks to raise the amount of money that they raised and then not be, you know, having to lay off people. I didn't even know about that law until I saw the lawsuit. What's it called? WARN. So I guess if you have over 100 employees, that's in the state of California, or is this federal law?
I think that's the state of California. 100 employees. That's all employees. I saw.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But, you know, obviously the plaintiff in the lawsuit, you know, she was pregnant and she had healthcare issues for her child, and, you know, did terrible things that, you know, that sucks. For it sucks when anyone loses their job. When a lot of people lose their job with tech layoffs, it's terrible. But as far as, like, Nextbite goes, I think Alex will rebound. You know, he'll find a way to use this experience to build something better. What I'm really interested is what Sam's going to do with it.
Yeah,
smart people don't buy things if they're worthless. And who knows how much he paid for it. Maybe he paid pennies on the dollar, probably did. But I'm interested if it's the data, if it's the customers, if it's obviously there's something there from a hotelier restaurant standpoint that he finds valuable. So I'll be very interested to see what comes of that. And maybe we won't know, you know, most likely we won't know.
Yeah. I'm wondering where that integrates. I mean, he sold his, you know, his empire, so to speak. I think 850 something million dollars that he got out of. So he's got a little bit of cash to play with. $30 million was, I think, what Nextbite was valuing itself at. That was not disclosed, the dollar amount that's coming out of that. Sam, I think, is kind of an operations guy. So I wonder what the infrastructure is in place that they have. I don't think it's the brands themselves, like, you know, Nathan's Hot Dog or David Chang. That's not the play, I think, for someone like Sam. I think Sam can put together an interesting like brand portfolio. So there's got to be some nuts and bolts, I think, to your point behind the scenes there. So I think we'll watch this. And I'm just watching this from the macro standpoint more than anything of what does this mean for the arc of technology in restaurants. And we're seeing tech layoffs and things like this. You know, Avi talked about it where he's, you know, seeing where a tech company lays off a bunch of people and then 6 weeks later they're hiring a bunch of people. Like that's not the move that we want to see within hospitality. Mm-hmm. That's the make sure you get the Q2 earnings to a certain point and then build again for the next quarter for the next, you know, IPO. So I think there's something to be said about what's happening there as everyone kind of clamors to be vertically integrated, to be the end-to-end solution. Again, a lot of things I want to talk about on Technobabble because it's really hard for the independent restaurateur making a whole bunch of really difficult decisions on whether they're using real brisket or tableside grown brisket, or are they adding a virtual brand on top of their restaurant, or using this technology or that technology. Like these are a lot of challenging decisions we never had to make before in restaurants. The hardest decisions that we were making was like, do you want the square plate or the round plate as you're like picking out your plateware? So this is a whole different conversation. So
more than, right. I mean, just those terms though. I think that's Sean, you and I spoke about this. It was like the techno babble technically is like, in the context of everything else you have going on, trying to run your operations, I think I'm seeing myself as a translator because they're only talking in tech language and they need to talk in restaurant owner's language. I think that is, you know, they're dealing with 500 different things. Don't come at me with an API and all these other languages. Am I going to vertically integrate? Do they, you know, are they whatever the words are, they're it's going to turn them off. Everything's going to be a turn off. Doesn't matter how doesn't even matter how useful the tech is if it can't be translated to them effectively. So
yeah,
that's
100%. And I'm starting to ask these questions as like outright. So this even happened yesterday on LinkedIn. Abhinav, who's the founder of Bicky, had this thing out there, was talking about there's four different kinds of CDPs, and there's a marketing CDP and a loyalty CDP and a this and that. And everyone was like, wow, this is great. This like is really helpful. I was like, wait a minute, what's a CDP? Yeah. And I actually knew what a CDP was, but I was like, let's start the conversation at a place where if you're talking to restaurants, what the hell is this? I don't care about the four kind. I don't know what a CDP is. Yeah. Oh, it's a customer data platform. That's helpful to know before you tell me there's four different kinds. And then, so what the hell is a customer data platform? Right. And it's like really understanding the vernacular of it. So yeah, there's a lot of translation needed there, 100%. And I think the tech people, they're in that. They want the VC money. They want to be able to be that tech darling. So we need to start to be able to translate that. All right. I mean,
restaurants, every industry has got a problem with that.
Every
industry wants to talk the insider language because it makes them sound smart. And we do that too in restaurants. Sure. We talk down to our customers, and we, you know, especially chefs, using words that the general public doesn't know that we should know. And
foraged
Maillard reaction.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. You seared my burger. Leave me alone. Yep. True story. No, it's definitely our fault in the restaurant industry. Chefs, we had to validate our existence and how hard we were working. Like I said earlier, that had to mean something. So there, you know, it's a whole thing. All right. What's next? We got a little reading reviews presented by Marquee. Marquee is a one-stop digital operations platform for no-touch digital menu and listings updates. And we're going to hear from our guy, Avi Gorin, who we had on live on the show last week, which is awesome. Let's hear what he has to say this week.
All right, Rift team. These last 6 months have been wonderful. I've enjoyed riffing with you all about reviews, review responses, hospitality, restaurants, dishes we like, Jensen and Kyle's terrible Wi-Fi. Thanks again for having me co-host not just once, but twice. I loved coming on and chatting with all of you. We've spoken about the perfect review response anatomy, personalizing it, acknowledging the reviewer, restating their points, mentioning a couple of keywords. That's going to play a little bit later. I've loved being able to show how Marquee can help hospitality groups with you guys and the Riff audience. We launched our AI review response product on this podcast. I wish I could play a sappy montage of all of our best hits from the last 6 months, but we just don't have the time. Instead, I will leave my verbal review of the Riff podcast and ask that the three of you respond using the Marquee patent pending, there's no patent, anatomy of a perfect review response. While I always found myself hungry after the Riff podcast due to the lack of actual food, the company was always great. The Riff team brought educational, relevant, and sometimes silly topics to the podcast. Some of my major takeaways are In-N-Out fries stink, robots will potentially take over the world, and we all need to take a trip to a Bulgarian village. Loved working with this team, would definitely come back again, 5 stars. Thank you again for the opportunity to share how Marquee makes menu updates, review response, and digital operations easier for hospitality groups worldwide. Excited to keep working with the three of you down the road and wish everyone the best of luck. Thanks again for having me.
Dude, that was a little emotional to watch, yeah. Man. That was great.
Avi's bringing all the emotions. You got the hero.
I know. Avi, Zach, they're bringing it for us, guys. You never know when you show up on this screen if anybody gives a shit. If anybody's actually listening, we hope that they are. We know the value that we're putting out there. We don't know how people are going to take it or what their response or reaction is going to be. And the fact that we got 5 stars, Kyle, is it real? Yeah, is it? Did we get overinflated there? The 5-star review, is it real?
I think we'll take it.
I'll take it. It felt really good. Yeah. Let me tell you, for a restaurant, I'm sure it feels really good. If he had said 4 stars, I might not feel as good right now.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Not as emotional.
Well, Jensen, will you respond to the review?
I will respond to review. Thank you, Avi, for your thoughtful review. We always appreciate having you on, being a part of this. We could not have built the Restaurant Idea Factory without you. The fact that you've gotten to interact with Sean, Kyle, and myself, that we've gotten to interact with Kelsey and other members, Paul, of your team, has us connected forever. We hope that we continue to create longer relationships and bring more value to the restaurant industry. And from California, New York, and Denver, we give you a big thank you and shout out. We know you're down there in Austin, Texas. Come back again soon. All right, did I hit all the spots? I personalized it. I made references of dishes. I gave that local SEO for locations. How was that, Avi? You go ahead and you can give me a 1 to 5-star review on my review response of your review.
There you go.
Now, what would AI say? Yeah. How would AI respond to Avi's? Yeah.
Thank you. Come again.
Let's. All right. Well, let's transcribe that piece of the episode. Pump it into ChatGPT. See what it has to say. And how it responses, and we'll let people side by side Jensen's response and AI's response. I bet it's going to be a little more concise and less meandering, as I was just doing off the cuff with a little bit of emotion in my throat. So,
have you the creepiest AI thing I've seen so far is the eye movement thing. Have you guys seen that? That's weird.
I did an avatar of myself with my voice reading a segment, and I like. Shut it off and like curled into the fetal position because I was like, that's not right. Yeah. That was not right.
It's all happening.
Hi, Jen. I went on and did that and I was, oh man, that was scary to me. Scary. Like listening to yourself in kind of your voice in AI, wow. Speak at you. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? So,
yeah, that is a bug out.
That was a little creepy. That was some Johnny Mnemonic stuff there for sure. All right, for you guys, well, how do you respond to that review? Generally or specifically?
Man, I can't do specifically. I'm not good with structure. But I can tell you, you know, like, I respect the hell out of Avi for being front and center on you know, his company and his brand and leading that. I mean, that's what we always talk about, right? Like, leading from the front and creating that content and being that face. People want to do business with people. And I think just his genuineness and his, you know, humor and warmth, I think it makes you want to reach out and talk and find out what Marquee's all about. And I think that's a masterclass in how it should be done for a lot of these groups. I think he's definitely showing CEOs across the, you know, restaurants, anybody in a leadership position, what it means to be the face of a brand. And obviously super grateful for the support of the show and always showing up, and great to connect with him and the team in Chicago. It's really been a learning experience, not only just from about the product and about how we're handling these type of things in restaurants, but I think Avi is an example of what these tech companies are gonna have to do to really differentiate themselves and get in front of restaurants. Like we were saying, that degree of connectability and relatability is gonna be a big part. And he's certainly
humanized it, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Just so. Be technology and iPhones and apps and software and integrations and robots. Yeah. There has to be humanity, and those things can help us facilitate, streamline, all more techno babble words. They cannot replace that truly connective tissue that is humans, connective tissue that's not grown tableside in a petri dish.
It's not.
All right. And look, we were going to have one more segment, but we have to end on that. So Sean, kind of on that specifically, reading reviews segment, Avi, Zach, they got us in the feels today. What's your response to Avi's 5-star review? And then we'll kind of take us out of this final episode here.
Kyle said it. It's the reason why we had the sponsors that we had on this show is because we believe in the humans that are building the technology to help move our business forward. Avi, obviously, Marquee, the entire team, Kelsey, everybody that we got to spend time with at National Restaurant Association show. We've been working with Marquee at Cali Barbecue for the last 3 years. Every single restaurant I talk to, I recommend. I let them know that there's 82 different places where their menu can be totally different on legitimate sites, and information can be totally different, and why we use the tools that we use, like Marquee, people like Zach Oates that, you know, put not just a smile on our face, but educate us and push us to be better. Jordan Bush, you know, David and Amanda from Davo. These are all companies that there's a reason that we have a relationship with them, is because we believe in it. You know, and the real challenge is to all the other technology companies that are trying to hide behind the brand. That's you right. Can't hide behind the brand anymore. Mm-hmm. Your founder story is a story that needs to be told over and over on every platform possible, because people want to know. They want to hear you on a podcast. They want to hear you on, you know, God forsaken, a panel, but they want to hear you. They want to see you. Don't hide behind, you know, the fact that this is what the brand says, or this is the company website, or this is the, you know, a company executive says this. No, come out in front and tell us. Let us know what you're working on, why you're working on it. And restaurant owners will respect that. And I respect the hell out of Avi and everything that he brings. I love the fact that he's done a phenomenal job of weaving content from episode to episode, which is hard to do. And it's been very impressive to watch him do it.
Yeah. And shout out to Kelsey, who definitely has been a driving force behind the scenes for that as well. Yeah. These tech companies cannot be an amalgamation of ones and zeros. They have to be public facing. They have to show their humanity. They have to show that they give a shit and why they care enough about restaurants to support restaurants. Because if they're just trying to extract from restaurants because it's got a big market cap and the potential for rounds of raising money and, you know, valuations is high in this sector, that's problematic. And a lot of companies are looking at it that way, and companies we're working with and collaborating with, they're looking at it like these are companies and humans worth supporting and putting our company, our brand, our names, ourselves behind. So could not be more grateful to them. So yeah, we're gonna end it there. we can't follow that. Wow. What a great and thoughtful and emotional last show here. Riff 27, 6 months of this, guys. I could not be more grateful. We've learned so much from each other over these months, and the challenges of producing such a complex show with the three of us on it has taught me a lot. My content will never be the same because of what we did here. So just to the two of you, super humbled and grateful for this opportunity and the challenges and joys and pains that it created. So thank you for that.
Oh, it's been awesome. Seriously. For me, you never know how stuff like this is going to go. But you always learn, you know, you definitely don't learn by not doing. By doing, you learn. And for sure, I've learned from this experience. And I know I too will be making better content and be looking at different ways to do what I do and do what I do best. And we can't do it alone. That's what I know that for sure. So I'm sure there'll be other opportunities, and it's a small content playground. There's not many. We hope that there's more. If you guys are listening, you're part of the rising tide.
Yeah, start telling your story.
Start telling your story. But yeah, join us. Get involved. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Kyle, the last word, my friend.
Shit. Yeah, look, I mean, yeah, I think that this is a perfect example of, you know, when people ask, what's the ROI? What should I do? You know, if we really sat here and thought about the benefits that came out of this show, I think we could make a list of 30 things that didn't exist before, right? So getting out here and doing it is the work. It's the time. It's effort. It's commitment for sure, right? I think we all, that's the reason why we can't do it, but we tried. And I think that's what you have to do. You have to give yourself. So I hope that's the really main takeaway, aside from the information and you know, anything that you could have taken away from this show, from any one of our partners. I think that the lesson should be like, I'm just going to throw something out there and see how the world reacts. Again, lives forever. It's here as a resource. It's here as, if you want to tune in and check it out again. And I think that's what you guys should be thinking about for your brands, for your concepts, and what that could really mean in terms of having an impact on your business. I'm seeing it every single day in the real estate side of how restaurants that are expanding are leveraging social media, how they're thinking about space in terms of their pickup and delivery, how they're thinking about, is there going to be, does this landlord get the fact that I need a space for potentially three third-party delivery drivers to pull up here? If not, I got to pass on this space. So there's a lot of different takeaways to be had from this, but for sure, I think it's ultimately about giving this content thing a shot and getting out there and telling your story and seeing what sticks.
That's it. Tell your story. Three of us true believers in that. Once again, we're going to be making even more content, all three of us, and getting the word out there for the restaurant. Support those entrepreneurs, those restaurateurs, those unsung hospitality heroes. So follow along at Kyle and Sarah and Closed Monday Podcast, at Sean P. Wall Chef, Restaurant Influencers, Digital Hospitality. For myself, at Jensen Cummings, at Best Serve Podcast. Follow along with Restaurant Techno Babble, Restaurants and Pop Culture. And that's it, boys. What a great run this has been. And like I said, bug us. Maybe the Avengers movie comes up. Maybe there's a reunion tour. Who knows? This has been a great honor for sure. All right. That's it, everybody. Appreciate you. Cheers.
Subscribe to full episodes Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn.